Brookhausen said, "Revile Christ, and I will release you." Polycarp answered this famous quote, 86 years I have served him. He has never done me wrong. How can I blaspheme him, my king, who has saved me? I am a Christian." The proconsul was flabbergasted. The crowd said, "Polycarp has confessed." I'm sorry. The proconsul said to the crowd, "Polycarp has confessed himself to be a Christian." The crowd yelled, "Let him be burned." Wood was collected, made into a pile. Polycarp asked not to be fastened to the stakes. "You do not have to tie me," he said. "Leave me like this. He who strengthens me to endure the flames will also enable me to stand firm at this stake without being fastened with nails." The wood pile was lighted. While Polycarp prayed with a loud voice, "Lord God Almighty, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I praise Thee that You have judged me worthy of this day and of this hour to participate in the number of Your witnesses and in the cup of Your Christ." And the flames consumed him. And Polycarp's martyred death took place in the year 156. Kuyper has some really great accounts, the best we can as far as what is historically accurate as far as Justin Martyr, Ignatius, all the rest, what they said, how they went through it. One of the things that you'll find in the persecuted church era is it developed a real problem. Two real problems developed historically for that period. For some reason, problem number one is, what is the date of Easter? And I don't even know why that came up, but that was a big one. But the bigger problem was, what do we do with a Christian who, under persecution, recanted his faith and said, "Caesar is Lord"? And we'll talk about that tonight. What do you do with someone who does that? And if tonight somebody came in here and said, "Deny Christ and we're going to let you out. Do not deny Christ, you're going to die." It may very well be some of you would not deny Christ and die, but it may very well be that some of you would choose to deny Christ and walk out free. So on Sunday, what does Walnut Ridge Baptist do with you if you denied Christ on Wednesday? And that became a problem. We'll discuss it. Okay? Here's some things as you fill in your blanks. Sometimes this period is noted as ending at 313 A.D. when Constantine and Licinius, they were co-emperors, ordered the Edict of Milan. We'll talk about that at the end tonight. Sometimes this is called the Anti-Nicene Age, since it leads to the Council of Nicaea. But next week we're going to talk mainly about these huge councils that were done and the doctrinal issues that they had to solve and settle at these councils. Next note, the church begins in the major cities throughout the Roman Empire and ends in almost all the known world, including China, India, and Britain. So in a sense, it's gone to the ends of the earth. Doesn't get to North America yet, but otherwise it's gone to many, many places. North Africa and down, Ethiopia, etc. Next note, the church in Judea and Jerusalem virtually disappears during this time. Remember, the church started in Jerusalem, but eventually, by this time, it virtually disappears for two reasons. The great Jewish wars of 66 through 70, we studied last week at the end, led to the destruction of Jerusalem. And in the records, the historical records, most historians will tell you that there were no Christians killed in that because the Christians had already left and gone to the city of Pella. So the Christians had moved out of Jerusalem. That was a fight the Jews wanted, but the Christians didn't feel need to fight the Romans. And then in 132 through 135 A.D., under Hadrian, the Jews were again antagonized, but it was the Jews, not the Christians. And as a result of that, he put a temple where the temple of Solomon had been, and it was a temple to Jupiter. He forbade any circumcision of Jewish boys. He renamed Jerusalem. He did all kinds of things just to make the Jews mad. And they got mad. In 132, the Jews in Alexandria revolted, but that was put down. And then later on, 132, 133, the Jews in Judea revolted. And they were successful for basically 3 years, and that gave them a confidence, which was a false confidence. They thought they were going to pull this one off. And in 135, Rome came in and wiped them out. And so there are virtually no Jews really left in the land, and the church has already escaped. So you will not hear much about the church in Jerusalem from that point on. Okay. So, yes?
Is that about the time the Maccabees?
The Maccabees were before, 135 before, before Christ. This is after Christ. Yeah, this is 270 years before was the Maccabees. When you study this period, the main thing you'll read, and I'm just giving you the traditional church history from, you know, and every piece of history.